Well, there it is. Then there were two. Championship weekend is in the books. The Super Bowl is just 2 weeks away. Welcome back to the Catch the Blitz show. I'm Thomas Parker, and as always, joined by Christian Catanacci. Cat, what's going on, man?
I'm a little sad that there's only 2 weeks left in the 2022-2023 NFL season. I mean, 7 months of no football sounds pretty boring. But again, the draft season is almost, I'm a big draft guy. I know POC isn't until the actual draft, but I've already got ahead and started to watch some of these guys, and I'm sure we'll bring some content for you guys later on. But AFC, NFC Championship games. The NFC Championship game was kind of a stinker for reasons that, I mean, you can't really control those, but it's unfortunate. The AFC conference game was slow at first. I felt like a lot of people expected it to be four quarters of just smash mouth football sort of thing back and forth. It wasn't that. As the game went on, it started to develop into a pretty good game. I know people out there complaining about the referees and all that, but like again, that happens with every single big game, right?
Yeah, it was a little anticlimactic, especially the first game. Second game was great, and we'll talk about both. But I was a big Brock Purdy guy, really rooting for those San Francisco 49ers. Love the storyline, and for him to go down on the first drive and then be forced to come back in because Josh Johnson went down, and there was part of me that was rooting to watch Christian McCaffrey at quarterback.
I thought they should have done that.
Yeah, I mean, it was really telling of how bad the situation was when it's like it's 3rd and 15, you're down, your season's on the line. Like, you need to score if you want to have even a sliver of hope, and they're still throwing like these 4-yard checkdowns.
Or
like,
that's running the ball, yeah.
Yeah, that's when I knew it was like, okay, something's really wrong here, and we just got word maybe an hour ago that Brock Purdy did tear his UCL, and it's going to be a 6-month recovery time. Yep. But yeah, the Eagles are off to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs, on the other hand, in the AFC Championship after a real close game. Again, every single time the Chiefs and the Bengals have faced off, it's been decided by 3 points.
Yeah.
And that trend happened again yesterday with another last-second field goal to finish that game. The Super Bowl matchup is set. We got the Chiefs and the Eagles. Today, we're not going to talk much at all about the Super Bowl just because we got 2 full weeks until that game goes. Yeah. I always think it's almost too long. But then Pro Bowl week comes.
Yeah, you gotta get healthy.
It's a nice
though.
Break.
Yeah, it is a nice break. It is, and we also have a Super Bowl only like exclusive show that we do every single year. So that's coming next week. So yeah, we're not gonna talk too much about the Super Bowl. But I mean, just to touch on these AFC and NFC Championship games, like I got a chance to sort of digest everything in this morning, and I really do believe. I want to hear what you have to say to this, but I think I don't know if it's the first time in however, but these were, like, I feel like the two best teams all year long, right? I know the San Francisco 49ers were fantastic. They were so hot, but, like, they weren't the best team in the conference. It was always the Eagles. And same with the Chiefs. The Chiefs, they had the Bills. I know they dropped the game to the Bills early, and the Bengals sort of screeched out late. But for the majority of the season, these two teams were at the top of their conferences, which is very rare. You don't usually see two of the best teams. Maybe you see one of them, but usually there's an upset somewhere. So it's interesting to see that both the Eagles and the Chiefs, who I thought, at least looking back on the season, were the two best teams in their respective conferences, are matching up in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's the first time since, I think, 2017 and 2018 when Nick Foles won the Super Bowl that the 2-1 seeds are facing off.
Wow.
So that's something. And like you said, two best teams. I think I would agree with that. I was very high on the 49ers going into the playoffs, and they were on such a heater. But if you look at the 49ers season, it's funny because they lost 4 games in the regular season. They lost to the Chicago Bears, who picked first overall. They lost to the Denver Broncos, who were horrible.
Oh yeah,
they lost to the Atlanta Falcons. So those were 3 of their losses, and then they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
So 3 of their 4 losses in the regular season were against 3 of the bottom 5 teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
Then they traded for Christian McCaffrey, and they just went on a tear, and it's so much momentum going into this game. But, you know, the injuries were really tough for the 49ers, but the way the Eagles are playing right now, and touching upon, you know, the 49ers had so much momentum going in. The Eagles, with Jalen Hurts, have lost one game all season long. And it was a divisional game on Monday Night Football, just a night where nothing went their way. They've been so dominant, and they've won in so many different ways, too. I've been on that train all year long about just how much they impress me. They're just on a roll. You can't stop them. When they're running the ball, when their offensive line is moving, you know, it feels like they can move mountains up front. It's really, really impressive. And I feel like the Eagles have been a team that all year long they keep having to prove themselves for mm-hmm. some reason. And yeah, some people are pointing to, yeah, you just beat Daniel Jones and John Johnson, and now you're in the Super Bowl all of a sudden, which seems crazy. But every challenge that comes their way, they handle it easily.
Yeah.
So they're a real complete team, and I think you're right in that statement where the two best teams are the last two.
It's like so hard for me to gauge the Eagles right now. Everyone knows that they're a good team, but like they haven't. It's crazy to say that they haven't been tested in the playoffs, right? Like it's like,
yeah, I think that's like,
is that fair though? Like I don't know how much different do you think the game would have been had Brock Purdy like not.
I still think they would have won. I still think
right?
they would
I think
have won
so too
because of how they handled the 49ers defense, which to me was going to have to be the X factor for the 49ers to win that game, especially yeah. playing on the road. Yeah. Like I think it's not fair to say the Eagles haven't been tested all year long because just being that consistent in the NFL doesn't matter who you play against.
No, absolutely,
it's
absolutely.
Impressive.
Absolutely.
So they're a good team. Would I have liked them to go up against the fully healthy San Francisco 49ers team? Of course.
Sure. Yeah, it would have been cool.
Or maybe a little bit of a better team in the divisional round. But that's what you get for being the one seed.
Yeah,
they absolutely. Earned the bye. They earned the right to play the weakest opponent. There was an upset. The Giants beat the Vikings. And there it is. I also think the NFC was the weaker conference. There are only both three, maybe four true good teams. And there you are. The Eagles have had a great season. And that great season has vaulted them into a chance to play in the final game of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And to shift gears to the AFC too, like the AFC was obviously the better or the deeper conference, right? But it truly is amazing to me that Patrick Mahomes is... To play the way that he did when everybody knew that he was not 100% healthy, like you saw he was clearly limping and then he was in pain, to battle that out against a team with, we want to talk about momentum, like that's a team that lives off momentum, right? Like there's no team that seems to feed off their momentum more than the Cincinnati Bengals. So I thought it was super, super impressive that the Chiefs were... not only, I don't want to say able to overcome, but it, almost in a sense, like, yeah, they were at home, but if it really did feel like there was a lot going against them, right? Like Travis Kelce gets hurt in practice on Friday, Mahomes last week with his ankle. There was so much that was pointing at the Bengals being able to go into Arrowhead. Arrowhead's stadium and, yeah. and pulling off this upset. But I feel like... yeah, it goes back to what I said. The two best teams are here, right? And they're battling for a chance that 30 other teams don't get to get. So props off to both those teams. I think we're in for a fantastic game. Again, we're not going to talk too much about the Super Bowl, but yeah, I mean, it's ironic. Like you mentioned, first time since 2017 or 2018,
yeah. It was 2017 season, but that's
yeah, Super Bowl. Yeah, 2018. Yeah. So the 2017 season. And ironically, the Eagles are also playing in that Super Bowl, and Eagles won.
With a Carson Wentz backup.
Yeah. Jalen best Hurts mentor in the league, maybe.
Yeah.
Both his backups have went to Super Bowl.
I'm putting coin on Heineke next year to take the Commanders all the way.
Maybe. You know, trends tend to repeat themselves. Yeah. And if Carson Wentz really is the greatest mentor in the NFL right now, having Nick Foles and now Jalen Hurts playing in Super Bowl, I think it's a safe bet to take Tyler Heineke on over everything, even his MVP odds, maybe. Yeah, Commanders to the Super Bowl next year.
Love it. I want to talk about Mahomes real quick just before we wrap up with these championship games. Joe Burrow was the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. Joe Burrow went to the Cincinnati Bengals, who were a tire fire. They didn't really have a track of winning in the playoffs. They didn't really have a track of consistency in the regular season. And they were clearly the worst team in the NFL when Joe Burrow was drafted to them. Since then, he's helped turn around the franchise. Yeah. So I think he gets so much credit. Everyone talks about how the Bengals are relevant again, and it's all because of Joe Burrow. Patrick Mahomes has been the starter in Kansas City for 5 years now. In those 5 years, they've made it to the AFC Championship 5 times, and they made the Super Bowl 3 times now. That is incredible. And I think the fact that the Chiefs were already sort of good and relevant. I mean, Alex Smith was there.
Oh, yeah. They
were a good team. Take them to the playoffs. Yeah. You know, they wouldn't really be able to beat the big dogs in the playoffs, but they were still a, you know, a pesky team that would fight year in and year out. They'd either win their division or be the wild card team. So I think because of that, we were already used to, you know, the Chiefs are a good organization. I don't think we really appreciate just how impressive it is in terms of what Mahomes is doing. Because, I mean, like, this is a crazy run. And like you mentioned, an AFC that has now become a very good conference, and a conference that it's hard enough to get to the AFC Championship game. It's even harder to get to the Super Bowl, and he's doing that.
And he's making it look easy.
Yeah.
Right? Like you said, three out of 5 years is truly remarkable. It's almost like video game numbers, right? It feels like we're doing this all over again with Tom Brady and the Patriots. But it is. It's right in front of us. Like, 5 years, 3 Super Bowls, 5 straight AFC championships. It's hard. It truly is hard to discredit that. And I feel like he's so good that it's like that's like the floor, right? Which people struggle to wrap their head around, like how good he is, because people just don't even bat an eye to it, right? It's like, oh, the Chiefs are in the AFC championship again. Yeah. But it's like not realizing that it's really truly falls on the legs and the arm of Patrick Mahomes, because there's no other quarterback that can do exactly what he's doing. Staying on this topic, though, and sort of shifting gears in a little bit of a way, you know, you look at the San Francisco 49ers, another team that 3 of the last 4 years have reached the NFC Championship, played in the Super Bowl once. They always feel like they're just a little bit short. And the person who I think deserves their flowers and doesn't get it enough is Kyle Shanahan. And what he has to deal with, year in and year out, it feels like, never having a quarterback. I know we saw the Brock Purdy story and ended in I don't want to say ended, because you never know what they're going to do. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about. It's what does the 49ers quarterback room next year, or what do they do at quarterback? Because, I mean, say what you want about how, oh, Kyle Shanahan this, Kyle Shanahan that. Windows, they seem like they're going to be open forever, but they're not. They can close really fast, right? So if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I'm growing impatient, right? Like, I'm like, I want a quarterback, right? And I know you can make your argument that you can roll the dice with Brock Purdy again or Trey Lance, but is that more like a project? Or, like, there's no guarantee that those two guys are going to get you to that Super Bowl, rather than, like, let's say, for example, just for argument's sake, a guy like Aaron Rodgers is just sitting there. I know it's going to take a lot for Green Bay to trade him to another NFC rival, but, like, do they make a move for a veteran, or do they roll back with Brock Purdy? Do they shift gears to Trey Lance or even Jimmy Garoppolo, who still remains in the equation? It's truly interesting to see, and I want to sort of almost debate on what they should do. What do you think they should do at quarterback this year?
Yeah, it's a very interesting problem, one that just got a little more complicated with the torn UCL of Brock Purdy. It's a problem with so many different moving parts, and this is yet another difficult thing to now process in this decision. You said it perfect. It seems like every year they're just missing that piece. They're missing that guy at quarterback, a true alpha at the position. You see how good they are with someone like Jimmy Garoppolo, someone who's just steady. It's a championship. It's an NFC championship team. Last year, they were so, so close. If not for that dropped interception, maybe they win the Super Bowl. Who knows? This is a really, really good football team, and they can get it done with a average quarterback. It's a tough decision. And like you said, they're looking for that guy. And I think they've already made that leap, and they did it 2 years ago when they traded all those picks to go and get who they thought was their guy. They went and got Trey Lance. It hasn't worked out to this point, but have they even seen him yet?
Like, yeah, I don't think they haven't, though. Like, that's the craziest part.
So I think here the solution is much more simple. I don't think you have to go out and trade a bunch of assets for Aaron Rodgers. I don't think you have to go and, you know, gamble on a 46-year-old Tom Brady. I think you have your guy. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo has been a great servant to this organization, and out of the three quarterbacks in that room right now, he's probably been the most productive, yeah. and the team's probably looked most well-rounded when he's under center. That being said, I think it's time to thank him and, you know, let him go elsewhere. Let Trey Lance and Brock Purdy battle it out at training camp. Don't name a starter until week three of preseason next year. That's personally what I think the 49ers should do. It's youth at the position. You talked about windows closed quickly. I mean, this roster isn't going to be as loaded as it is forever.
Yes.
So why not develop one of your younger quarterbacks? And maybe 5 years from now, the roster's not as strong, but you got a quarterback who's a veteran and he can elevate players around him. Because especially when you talk about Trey Lance, like, this is a guy who was heralded as someone who's very, very talented. So I don't know. It's a tough decision. I do believe in youth. Look at the AFC. All those quarterbacks are 25, 26 and under. So maybe it's a time where you just got to ditch the insurance blanket. And you got to hope for some better injury luck too. And I think eventually luck's going to go their way. Four quarterbacks this year went down with difficult injuries that made them miss time. So I don't know.
Even just quarterbacks. They had some guys, some key guys miss time all season long, right? So it's Elijah Mitchell, I know they had Christian McCaffrey, but he missed what seemed like majority of the season, right? So they, again, injury luck is definitely not on their side. But on this quarterback sort of topic, I feel like what makes the most sense for the organization is to roll it. I don't want to say run it back, but you got to have a battle between both these guys, which I think Trey Lance is the better quarterback between the two. And I'm not even the highest guy on Trey Lance. I don't think he's going to be a superstar. But I think it's Brock Purdy, the story's fantastic, right? Like, one of the best. It had potential to be like an all-time great story, right? Yeah. But at the end of the day, I feel like Brock Purdy, as if I'm looking at the future outlook. Now, this could age horribly, right? Like, this could be on freezing cold takes in a couple years. But I think as a ceiling, like, I don't want to say you've seen his ceiling, but I think he gives you a very, very, very good and safe backup quarterback, right? Someone that can come in, knows the system, can make plays with his legs. He doesn't have the greatest arm, but his IQ is up there, right? He's a very intelligent quarterback, doesn't turn the ball over too much. And again, he's going to be there for a couple of years. I think the job is Trey Lance's to lose. If I was Kyle Shanahan, I'm rolling back with Trey Lance and saying, look, we didn't just give up this draft capital for no reason. Like, we got to see what we got in this guy. And I get it. You don't want to gamble and roll your dice. I know fans and the organization are probably growing a little bit impatient, but Trey Lance is, from a skill set standpoint, is exactly what this offense needs, right? Exactly. Right, he can make plays with his arm, his legs, and it's just pure athleticism is off the charts. And I think that's what you're seeing grow more important in these modern day quarterbacks. Right, the ability that your quarterback just having the threat to take off and run, and just not just run for 5-6 yards, but be a true home run hitter is so important in today's NFL. So if I was sitting here today and sort of looking onto the offseason, I think for the 49ers, from a 49ers standpoint, I think they got to go with the sort of the quarterback battle between Purdy and Trey Lance and roll with these two guys. Assuming Trey Lance is 100% healthy, I think that's his job. If I'm projecting, I think he's going to be the starting quarterback come week one of next year. And I don't think that's I don't think it's bad at all, right? I know people like to judge him early on in his play. I know the 49ers started very slow. But even I did. Before the season, I projected the 49ers to go 9-8. And that's with the understanding that Trey Lance was going to be the starting quarterback all year. I thought that he's eventually going to become that guy, but I felt this year was going to be a little bit slower from a development standpoint because he is just so raw, right? But I don't think necessarily trading for Aaron Rodgers, I mean, it would be nice, sure. Yeah, you probably have a good chance of winning the Super Bowl, but like, I don't know. I don't think it makes too much sense, right? When you got to give up assets to get an aging guy like that, when you have a young guy that has promise, why don't you use that assets in a different way to sort of bolster a roster that like already seems like it's one of the best, if not the best in the league?
Yeah, you talked about your preseason prediction of Trey Lance and the 49ers. I picked Trey Lance to win the MVP, or I said he was like a sleeper. To win the MVP in August. I was super high on him, and I was super high on the ceiling of this 49ers team. He went on to play not even five quarters in the season.
Yeah.
To give you an idea of how much development he missed out on, like, let's think about everyone's perspective on Trevor Lawrence five quarters into the 2022 NFL season, and now after the full season, we all think he's this top 10 guy, he's won a playoff game. Like, that, there's so much development that Trevor Lawrence had in this season. Like, Trey Lance has just missed so much football. He needs to play. Who knows? He could have, and I know he had a bad game one. He lost the Chicago Bears in a tough weather game, and everyone said, like, oh, maybe he's, you can't judge him after one game. I wish we got to see this full season playoff for Trey Lance. That being said, we're going to get a little hypothetical here with the what ifs. That draft class, that 2021 draft class, five quarterbacks in the first round. Trevor Lawrence, one, everyone knew that was going to happen. Even yeah. Zach Wilson at two, everyone knew that was going to happen. We all said that year at the third pick is when the draft really starts, because Mac Jones, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance were all within like plus 180 to the minus 110 range, odds fluctuating. Nobody knew who the 49ers were going to take. Looking back, and you have to consider availability on this especially, do you think if they had taken someone else, another one of those quarterbacks, Mac Jones or Justin Fields, things would be any different in San Francisco right now? Like, would they have a franchise guy? Would that guy have gotten them over the hump in an NFC championship game, maybe a Super Bowl? Like,
yeah.
You think so?
I think so.
You think with Mac Jones?
No.
With Justin Fields?
I think with Justin Fields. I again, there's so much... part of my French, but there's so much bullshit that people like to talk when it comes to Justin Fields. Like, you're forgetting he's on the worst team in the league, like, and they're bad, right? And sure, yeah, he hasn't been phenomenal, but I think he should have been the pick at three. I think looking back at it, he's still that pick at three. I would pick him there. I think his skill set.
Looking back, he's the pick at two.
Yeah, he's pick at two. Regardless, yeah. Well, I'm forgetting the two, but I think his skill set. Like, there's no way that Kyle Shanahan wouldn't make that work. No way.
Especially if they had McCaffrey. I mean, now it's all sorts of, like, who knows what could have happened in a parallel universe. But, like...
They would be playing in the Super Bowl right now if they had Justin Fields. If they picked Justin Fields at three, they would be playing in 2 weeks. I guarantee it.
Triple option, Fields, McCaffrey, Juszczyk, too?
Juszczyk.
Debo. Debo's an afterthought at this point. Nobody cares about Debo anymore when you got those guys.
But it's true, man. Like, I don't know. I just think that... I don't want to say they overlooked it too much, because Trey Lance is fantastic. He's a good prospect. But I don't know. Looking back at it, I know it's hypothetical. I really do believe that had they had taken Justin Fields, they'd be playing in the Super Bowl. I do think that. I think they would be the favorite too. I think they would be so, so dangerous. Kyle Shanahan with that skill set at quarterback. And say what you want about running back, whatever. Justin Fields is a quarterback, right? He can play. We've seen him. He can play. And even if he runs the ball all game, they're still, that's what the 49ers do anyway. So exactly, they're playing it. I'm telling you, if they had Justin Fields, the 49ers are playing the Super Bowl without a doubt.
All right, all this Super Bowl talk, teams that could be going to the Super Bowl, these hypotheticals. There's been a little bit of a new trend the past couple of years with quick rebuilds, is what I'll call them, accelerated rebuilds. Yeah. It doesn't seem to take the 5 years anymore that it had in the past. We saw Joe Burrow within 2 years. I mean, his first true real year as a starter, he took the Bengals to the Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts has found success in Philly relatively quickly. It's weird because in the past 5 years, the Eagles have won the Super Bowl, tanked, been horrible,
yeah,
made a mockery of themselves on Sunday Night Football by benching Jalen Hurts because they essentially wanted a better draft pick, and now they're back in the Super Bowl. So it seems like these... good organizations led by the common theme is quarterback. You need to
and
find
a good
that
GM
guy.
Too.
Yeah, good GM,
Roseman's fantastic.
And quarterback. And these teams are, you know, they're getting there quickly. Teams that we thought would take a while are back in the big dance. So I think what we can do today is try to project sort of who the next team is.
All right.
That yeah. can. Become very, very good a lot quicker than most of us expected, because I feel like I might be in the minority in this, but I didn't think the Eagles would be as good as they were this year.
I didn't think so. That's for sure. I
was a hater on the team. I'm not going to lie. I was saying no way they'd win the division.
I was a doubter. I was a doubter big time. I knew they had a good roster, but again, I doubted their quarterback. All reasonable doubts too. Like, I don't know. I didn't. You're talking about a really big jump that a quarterback made in such a short period of time. Like, I don't think anyone outside of Philadelphia Eagles fans, and some Eagles fans were torn on them too. I know a lot. Guys personally that weren't sold on Hurts, and they wanted them to move up last year. They wanted to trade for Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. They all wanted all that because their roster was so good. They just felt like Jalen Hurts wasn't going to be able to take them over the top, and he's proving so many people wrong. But I think that's cool. I think projecting, I mean, again, me and you maybe could be on Freezing Cold Takes in 3 years, but that's all a part of it. You know, that's part of the game.
Honestly, right? Wouldn't be the first time I've had a take go pretty bad. Listen, I had a hard time with this.
Yeah, same with me, to be honest.
And I think that shows how special it is what the Bengals did last year and what the Eagles did this year, because it was unexpected and it fooled a lot of people. And it takes a lot to go to the Super Bowl. It's not just all of a sudden they're good. It's a lot of preparation. You know, the season starts in
aggressive.
Now.
Yeah, you gotta be aggressive. Like that's today's NFL. You gotta be aggressive. Like, look at my Cowboys. They've been trying to build a dynasty since the dynasty ended in the 90s. That's just not how you build your team, right? Like, you don't need to go all in. And going all in doesn't mean you're going to suck for 10 years. That's not what it means anymore, right? You're seeing it firsthand. Like, the Eagles are going to be a good team for a long time. Like, that's just how you build your roster. And they're showing you the blueprint. So, you go first, Pac. What's your team that you think could sort of complete this accelerated rebuild? I think I know who you're picking, to be honest.
Yeah, so... I have two teams written down, and one is what I call the easy answer. I think it's low-hanging fruit. They're media darlings, and we already saw a little bit of a glimmer of it this year, and that's my Lions.
Yeah, I knew you were picking them.
But I think that's cheating. Like, I mean, like, the Bengals were so, so bad, and bam, they're in the Super Bowl. And, like, I feel like this offseason, everyone's going to be talking about these Detroit Lions because they were... awesome this year down the stretch. And if they had a little bit of a better start, they would have made the playoffs.
And they would have been a tough out too.
Yeah, and Dan Campbell's building something. They were a fun team to watch. Great offense. Defense has a ton of young and up-and-coming players. The weapons, and I know you said this a ton last week, it's a weapons league. We're talking Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, that double-headed monster in the backfield of DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams. So it's impressive what they're building, but... to me, a lot of the foundation is already built. I don't think they're going to experience a big overhaul or revamp in the offseason. This is the team that they went with last year is going to be pretty much the team that they go in with next year. Just I think a lot of the young guys are going to get even better. So that's my easy answer, and I'll say it's a little bit of my fake answer because I just think it's too easy.
Yeah.
My sleeper pick for this is the Carolina Panthers. And I think it's a little bit of a weird one, but like I said, this has to be unexpected. I think Frank Reich is a bit of a better coach than we all sort of gave him credit for in Indy. Didn't really have a lot to work with there. Never had stability at quarterback. I really like what the Panthers have on the defensive side of the ball. I think their weapons on offense are a little underrated. They don't, in my eyes, have... one super glaring hole in terms of, like, I think their O-line's okay. They have some sort of pieces.
It's ascending too. Like
their main problem is their quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I think they can address that in this year's draft. So barring that they hit on a guy, I think we can see Carolina in a wide open division. And I'm talking wide open.
Yeah.
Tom Brady leaves Tampa. I don't know if...
it was already the worst division
in football. It was already the worst division in football this year. If Tom Brady leaves Tampa, I don't know if a team's going to even win 7 games in this division next year. And if they do, it's my Panthers because they're my pick for the quick rebuild.
Like your I Panthers. Said, I think my
Panthers. Oh, sorry. It was your Panthers.
They're my Panthers sorry. First.
I picked my Lions. I'm going to go with the Carolina Panthers, though. I think, like... I don't. Did you expect that answer?
No, I did not.
I think it's a little weird.
I like structured it, though, because I structured it the same. So... I mean, we both mentioned the Bengals and the Eagles as sort of the prime teams or the sort of examples of the accelerated rebuild. So I sort of picked a team that was like the Eagles, and then I picked a team that was like the Bengals. So I'll start with my team that I think could make a leap like the Bengals. We're talking worst to first. And I'm a little skeptical about this pick because I don't know how much I trust the franchise. But it's a little spoiler because I just talked so highly about this quarterback just 5 minutes ago. But I'm going to go with the Bears.
Now,
again, super skeptical because I don't know if the franchise is necessarily set up to have success. But you're talking about a young quarterback, a boatload of money. Like, these guys got, I think they almost got double second most in the league. And which is insane. Like, that's a whole lot of money. And they got good draft capital, right? Like, very good draft capital. They can either pick a stud at one or they can trade down and get a whole load of stuff, right? Like, you don't really know. But the Bears are set up to, if they play their cards right, this could be a team. Again, and as you were talking about a division with Aaron Rodgers could be out of it. We don't know the Vikings' future because it's Kirk Cousins. How many years has he got left there? The Lions, they're ascending team. They look like they could be players. But the Bears, too. Like, the Bears, if they play their cards right this offseason, this could be a team that could get good and very good fast, too, right? Everything's pointing in the direction. I think a lot of people are overlooking them because they've just been so bad for so long. But so that's sort of my team. Like, the Bengals, that's my Bengals version of this side. So now the Eagles version of this side, who the Eagles were okay last year. They made the playoffs, but they clearly weren't a playoff team. I think that's safe to say. And I think a team that nearly almost mirrors them is the Seattle Seahawks. I think the Seahawks got a great young defense, a head coach that continues to prove so many people wrong in Pete Carroll. Their cap situation is pretty solid. They don't have crazy room, but they don't have necessarily a ton of big contracts that's sort of holding their team down. And it feels like they're just missing a quarterback almost. Like, sure, Geno Smith, fantastic season, but if this team were to somehow find a guy, a young guy that can grow with this team, I feel like this is a team that could really put themselves into the top of the NFC conference, which is, once again, completely wide open, right? Like, it's almost shifted gears with the AFC, which, if we're talking the AFC in the 2010s and the 2000s, like, it wasn't nearly as strong as it was, as it is today. And we're talking about the NFC was usually the powerhouse conference. Now they flipped, right? Like, the NFC, even just projecting onto next year, is completely wide open, right? Outside the Eagles, the 49ers, who knows what the Cowboys are going to do. But I think the Seahawks could, if they're just able to be just a little bit aggressive, they can make that leap like the Eagles did this year. Like, the Eagles last year, I feel like we're the same team like the Seahawks this year. I just feel like they're almost mirrored. So that's my team that I think, I don't know. Like, would you think that's like a bold play or like?
Actually, I didn't really see either of those coming. I like both of the picks. The Bears one to me is particularly interesting. I'm not a huge cap space guy. I think a lot of times the teams that have a lot of cap space are means because they have bad rosters.
Yeah, they have bad rosters. It is. It's true.
I understand what you're saying. Like, that GM who is entering just his second year as the general manager, so he is a little bit unproven, but he has a great opportunity to prove himself.
And Cincinnati also did have a lot of cap space too. Like, they went out and got Trey Hendrickson. And like, they got a lot of players.
They spent. I think we talked about the last year. It was weird that they built their defense through free agency. That's just not the blueprint. Everyone builds their team through the draft. Jacksonville last year also spent a ton of money in free agency, and to the surprise of many, it worked out. Like, they were a lot better this year. The one thing that's good is the Bears, you know, he's a new GM. He's not tied to anything.
Yes.
So he has full control and he can build things his way.
Exactly.
The big question is his way the right way?
That's why I'm skeptical about it, because I don't necessarily know what Poles is all about. Yeah. Like, I don't know if he's the right guy. I don't know too much about him, so I don't want to make assumptions, but it's definitely a team that I would not be shocked if they were a very good team in a year or 2 years down the road. I'm not going to say a year because I don't think we'll ever see a forest to first like that. But I think the Bears in a couple of years, if they play their cards right, they can be real players in the NFC Championship or the NFC Conference, I should say, for years to come. I'm glad that we didn't have similar teams. Like, I'm surprised that not even one didn't cross over.
I thought about the Bears. And I was just like, I like Justin Fields. I don't know if I'm as high on Justin Fields as you are, but I do like him. I think there's a very real high ceiling there. But I'm just like, this team stinks.
They do, though. They do.
They're really bad.
They are really bad.
I remember going into this year, I think this guy DM'd both of us like separately, but I had one of our followers DM me and be like, hey, I'm in an argument with one of my buddies. How many games do you think the Bears are going to win this year? I think their win total was like 4.5 in Vegas or 5.5. And I was just like, I don't know what side of the argument you're on, yeah. but like, I think the Bears stink. He happened to be a Bears fan, and he sent me like a paragraph. Like, he wasn't mad or anything, but he was like explaining to me why the Bears are going to be good. And I was just like, you know, okay. You
so
know.
I hope my prediction comes true for that follower. Hopefully he's listening to the show.
I was like, you know what? You know your team better than
maybe
I
he
do.
Unfollowed us after yeah, that. Probably you never did. Know. You never know.
Like, maybe they have a chance. Maybe the Bears will turn it around and win for that 5-6 games this year. And then they started 2-1. And I was like, I was always thinking about
exactly
this guy in my
too.
Head.
They did start very well, and then they went on a huge losing streak. But like, if we asked this question like even in 2015 or 2016, I would have told you that Justin Fields stinks too. I never thought that. I mean, it's at least. For how I see it firsthand, is the game is really changing because, like just 5 years ago or 7 years ago, it was just the pure pocket passer quarterback, right? And I know you saw glimpses of RG3, but like there was always that sort of the running quarterback, the quote unquote running quarterback, which a lot of people were almost afraid to label as because you're like, oh, they're just going to get figured out, right? They'll get figured out. But I really do think that from a modern day standpoint, like if I was a GM of an NFL franchise, if my quarterback that I'm going to draft doesn't have any single, like any ability, like Mac Jones, like I don't want to single out Mac Jones, but like, I feel like Mac Jones was just a little bit too late, right? Like if Mac Jones was drafted just like 10 years before, he'd be a great prospect because he's exactly what the old era of football was about. But now, like, you really need that athletic ability, not run first at all, by any means. Like, you shouldn't be a run first guy, which I know people are going to make the argument about Justin Fields being a run first quarterback. But again, he was throwing at Chase Claypool, like Chase Claypool and N'Keal Harry and Equanimeous St.
Hey, that's
Brown.
Like two Canadians. You just
yeah, I know, off. But it's the truth. It's us Canadians don't make good football players. Javon Holland. He's our dog, but. If your top receivers are Canadian, you're doing it wrong. You know, it is. It's the truth, right? Like, look at the VTFL. The VTFL is filled with studs, but no NFL players there, right?
Just CFL.
Just CFL, right? And half the people that are listening to the show don't even know what the CFL are. I guarantee you that. But again, you cannot be a run-first quarterback, but you have to keep defenses on your heels with your legs, right? I think it's so important. And I don't want to say you're going to see those typical prototype pocket passers get filtered out, but I think as the years go on, you're going to see more teams take chances on guys that are mobile because it's so important in today's NFL where there's pure athletes at every position. Like, you're seeing defensive ends now. Look at Micah Parsons, for example. I know it's just like that's like a crazy it's a crazy sort of person just to point out and like, oh look, yeah, sure, yeah, okay, whatever. He's one of the best players that we've seen in decades, but like, defensive ends and even defensive tackles like Jordan Davis. When has a guy that's 370 pounds move like he does?
Yeah.
It's insane, right? So you need to be athletic at quarterback. Like, and I mean, it's crazy to say, but the game is changing in front of me. And for me to say it, I've always been like a prototype. Oh, give me a pocket passer. If the guy runs, I don't want him, right?
Yeah.
I've completely flipped the switch on that.
Even like your guys who can play like pocket passers, like your Trevor Lawrences and your Justin Herberts, like they can move.
Dude. Yeah.
They can get out there and they can beat you on the ground. It's definitely a changing game. And hey, who knows? Maybe the Bears led by Justin Fields are going to turn around. I like the Seahawks pick too. It is, it's one that I didn't even think about. It's another interesting franchise. It's like, what are you going to do at the quarterback position? Which I think is the theme for a lot of teams every year.
Yeah.
But they got something that works, and I think they'll continue to build on it. So we'll see how they do next year. Anyways, we said we're not going to talk about the Super Bowl much today, but we have to do some sort of small little
projection. Because if the average person that's stumbling across this show are going like, how these guys aren't talking about the Super Bowl?
There's only two teams left in the NFL. We're talking about the offseason, and we're talking about the Chicago Bears during Super Bowl week. What's going on over here? But I don't know. We got to touch on initial thoughts of the game. I said last week, I think regardless of how you mesh the four remaining teams, I think it's going to be a good game. I think we got the best possible scenario from that. Like, I'm really excited.
For me, no shot.
Okay,
no
shot. You don't want to see the Eagles win. But, like,
but I picked the Eagles to win.
I could see this game being 41-33, and then I can also see it being, like, I don't know, 23-20, like, similar game. Like, I don't know. It's really interesting. I think it's going to be a very close game. The Eagles' defense is putting up record numbers for a playoff run. I know it's only been two games, but they've really held their own. I don't know. Spread opened. I think it actually opened up as the Chiefs' favorites, and then it quickly shot over to the Eagles, and now they're sitting at about a point and a half, maybe 2-point favorites. So,
you wanted something crazy? I wanted to save this for next week's show, but I feel like I would have forgotten. I had a dream. I literally had a dream. And I didn't know who, I don't even know if it was the Chiefs or the Eagles in the Super Bowl. But all I know is that all I remember in this dream is that the team that won the Super Bowl won 30-20. That's all I remember. That's it. That's all I remember. And it came yesterday night. Yesterday night I had a dream. Swear to God. I swear. 30-20. But again, I don't know. I'm not a big dream. I don't remember too many of my dreams.
Me neither.
Right? Like, sometimes I'll wake up and it'll be a daze and I'll look at my alarm clock and I'll be like, okay, gotta go to work. But, like, for some reason, that part of my dream stuck out. I'm gonna put a little bit of money on it because I don't know. You never know, right? Like, I don't know. I'm not sure what if that's a sign or anything, but who knows? Maybe I'm a fortune teller. Maybe we'll look back at this and be like, oh, your dream. It actually worked, 30-20. The reason why I brought this up and the reason why you remember me, see, I already forgot it because that's how little my brain's, sure, you know what they say, you got 30% of your use only like 30% of your brain, yeah, or whatever, right? And that 30% is usually just sports. That 100% of that 30% is usually just sports. So yeah, I don't remember my dreams too often, but I do remember it was 30-20. I don't know if it was the Chiefs or the Eagles. Maybe it was a Super Bowl in 2078.
Yeah, I just looked it up. No one's ever won the Super Bowl 30-20 before. Mm. But the Chiefs won 31-20, what, 3 years ago? Two years ago? Against the 49ers. Yeah. Actually, I think, what was last year's Super Bowl decided by? 3 points?
3 points.
Because a couple years before that, I mean, there was a blowout the year before that, and then the 11-point win by the Chiefs.
So the blow was the Bucs, right? Yeah,
that was the Bucs. 31-9, I think it was. I think we're going to get a really good game. Those are my initial thoughts. I mean, next week is the week where I think we'll boil down a little harder into the game.
Is the Pro Bowl this weekend?
Yeah. Well, there's no game anymore, I don't think. I think it's just like a skills challenge, flag football. They play tic-tac-toe with the kickers, kicking into the...
Oh, Brett Maher is there?
No, yeah. He's there. Brett Maher's there. But yeah, I think it's going to be a very close game. I mean, I would say I'm going to wait to reveal my winner. Like, everyone knows who I'm picking. I'm picking those Kansas City Chiefs. I'll say it right now. I feel like they're going to win now.
See, Pac, you're putting me in a terrible situation here because now if I pick Chiefs, everyone's going to call us Eagle haters because they're already saying that.
Well, you are an Eagle hater.
But I'm not an Eagle hater. But I'm not an Eagle hater. I'm an Eagle hater because I have to be an Eagle
hater.
So
I'll say this. Even if I think that the Eagles are a better team, even if I think that this is just how I am, even if I think the Eagles are better, even if I think the Eagles are going to win, I will tell myself the Chiefs are going to win because I want them to win. I do that every... I don't think I've ever picked a Super Bowl winner in my life.
Well, because you're talking
like, I genuinely... Like, even if I think this team is going to win, I'll just pick the other team if it's a team I want to win. Every year, I just pick the team I want to win. I want to see Mahomes win. Picking the Chiefs.
But see... okay. I read these comments. Trust me. I read the comments because I know the Eagles fans are very angry at me, right? It's just deservingly so. I don't like you Eagles fans either. Right? You shouldn't like me. I'm a Cowboys fan, right? We don't get along. But I can't admit, and I've said multiple times on the show, so I don't know where this comes from. People just see my random little snippets of me saying that the Cowboys are amazing, which I'm a fan. I'm allowed to believe. But the Eagles, I've said all year long, I've said Jalen Hurts the MVP. I've said the Eagles are the best team in the league. Now, if I don't pick the Eagles to win the Super Bowl, I'm going to be crowned a Cowboy lover.
Just pick the Chiefs. If you want to get on the winning side,
I'm not picking. I'm not revealing my pick. Maybe because I have a track record of being very wrong sometimes. So maybe I'll pick the Eagles, thinking and putting that like reverse jinx out there. That'll
just
be
like
the
you
Chiefs.
Said with your Cowboys. Didn't you pick against the Cowboys or something? Thinking it would work.
Yeah, I've probably done. I've tried a lot of things. Trust me, I've been a fan for 27 years, and nothing's come from it. So I've tried triple reverse jinxes. I've tried every trick in the book. to try and send some good juju to the Cowboys, and it hasn't worked. So you know what? Maybe I'll just forget about it, and you know, next week you'll hear my real pick. And
what you're saying is, you think Kelce is going to be a Super Bowl champion?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's our bold prediction. Our bold prediction of episode 20 is that a Kelce will be Super Bowl champion. Kelce wins the Super Bowl.
All right, guys. I think that's going to do for today.
Quick. If you're the mother, who are you cheering for?
Have you not seen her jersey?
You know that there's one team that she likes a little more.
Both kids have won already.
Oh, that's true. They have won.
So it's not like, I mean, if Jason hadn't won, I would be like, oh, I'm cheering for Jason. Because you want to see both sons win.
Yeah.
So, like, for her, I don't think it really matters. Okay, I'll say, you know what? Like, Travis has more to gain because no one talks about, like, rings when it comes to offensive linemen.
Yeah,
but if Kelce wins another Super Bowl...
And has a great game, like, he could be...
this guy's the best tight end of all time, which I personally don't believe. Like, I still think
But you can make the argument for it. Absolutely.
Which is kind of weird because it's just one game.
Yeah.
But, like, because he's a flashier position... Rings matter. It's super weird.
You're right.
Like Jason Kelce, who is probably an all time great NFL center, NFL offensive lineman, no one in those conversations is just like, oh, he has two rings. It's just when it comes to offensive linemen, it's like, oh, he was really good. He was really good his whole career, consistent
and
player.
And he has been fantastic, right?
Yeah. Anyways, I know which Kelce I'm cheering for.
We'll save the Super Bowl talk for next episode. For those of you that have made it this far, we appreciate it. Leave a like, comment, do all that sorts of stuff, depending on where you're listening. Stay tuned for next week's Super Bowl-only episode. We'll talk about the Pro Bowl because I know it's going to be fantastic. And we'll see you guys all next Tuesday.
Take care.
Bye.